Hello, hello. Tis I, Richard Dixon, Talk 99.5, Talk99.5.com. Thanks a whole heap in helping for being a part of the show. If you didn't show up every day, then there'd be no point for me to be here, right? Extra, extra thanks to our sponsor, Stead, Denson & Fuller, for not just being a fantastic sponsor, but also being my insurance agency. Local and independent is always the best way to go because you know they're working for you and not for anybody else, not for some big company. If you have a claim, they're not struggling to try to save that company money. Their goal is to serve you and make sure you get what you bought, which is the coverage that, you know, you need at this point. They also make sure that you have the right coverage at the right price. They shop around. They get you the best. They don't just do that the first time. Every time that policy's up for renewal, and sometimes in between, they shop around and see if they can't find you a better deal. Every time. That's one of the things that makes them so great. Stead, Denson, and Fuller. Give them a call, 414-1476, or online at steadandfuller.com, steadandfuller.com. I mentioned National Pepperoni Pizza Day. There are a couple of specials as a result of that. Marco's Pizza is offering a large pepperoni pizza for $8.99. Is that a good deal? I don't even know. It's been a long time since I've ordered like a large, just a regular pepperoni pizza. My pizza orders are always like, yeah, I want the pizza, and then I want these wings, and then I want the cheesy bread, and oh, let's get this dessert, you know? I'm like, as long as I'm ordering it and people are going to be bringing me food, let's make that to last for the whole weekend.
All right. So how much is it? $8.99 for a large?
$8.99 for a large pepperoni pizza at Marco's.
That's a pretty decent deal. That's okay. A pretty decent deal.
I like Marco's Pizza. I don't love Marco's Pizza. It doesn't bother me that I'm not near one. I remember because I had one near me at the last place I lived, and I went, I should really try this. I should give this thing a shot. And I ordered it online, and I went by, and I picked it up. We were still in pandemic mode at the time. And I got it home, and I ate it, and I was like, and SHG was with me, and I said, it's good, but it's not worth all that trouble. Because it was a lot farther away from me than, say, Papa John's was, or Pizza Hut, which that Pizza Hut is closed now, or Domino's. It was much farther away than any of those. So I was like, yeah, I think I'll be sticking with Domino's from now on. But if I can do local, I mean, I will absolutely go to a local pizza place over a chain anytime.
Well, there's a really good chain in Jasper, Johnny Brusco's. I have loved that Johnny Brusco's pizza.
I've heard of it. There's one in Hoover, as a matter of fact.
There's one in Vestavia off Rocky Ridge.
Okay. Well, maybe I need to swing by and try that at some point. I have never had it. I mean, I'm not averse to chain pizza, don't get me wrong. I eat quite a bit of it. Well, quite a bit is a relative term. Anyway, the other deal that I can offer you is this. Cece's is unleashing the new Ultimate Giant Pepperoni Pizza. Mm-hmm. Cece's launched the new Ultimate Giant Pepperoni Pizza and the new Cupping Pepperoni. Features not one but two varieties of pepperoni, including Cece's traditional pepperoni and the new Cupping Pep. The new Ultimate Giant Pepperoni Pizza can be found at participating Cece's location starting nationwide today for a suggested price of $13.99. It's Ultimate Giant, though. When ordering online or through the My Cece's app, people have a My Cece's app?
Everybody's got an app now. Come on, Richard.
Yeah, but I mean, do people actually put this? Do people put this on their phone?
I mean, yeah, do people earn reward points? That's the big deal now. You use the app, you get reward points. Even McDonald's is jumping in on that. Chick-fil-A, of course, launched it and was the best at it, so now everyone's trying to copy Chick-fil-A.
But it's Cece's. It's mediocre pizza for cheap. That's the whole point of Cece's.
Doesn't matter. Okay. People want points.
Fans should look in the deals category to select the new menu item. You know what this reminds me of? Remember when, I don't know if you're a Seinfeld fan, Elaine, she wrote her number on the back of her sub sandwich card and gave it to a guy. And then she was upset that she lost the sub sandwich. It was the membership, the club card or whatever. And she was only one sub away from a free sub. And Jerry was like, yeah, but you don't even like their subs. And she's like, yeah, but it's free. That's kind of the Cece's
exactly,
thing.
Exactly, man.
You don't even like Cece's pizza. Yeah, but it's free. That's what you're missing. It's free. Will the Chubb Father is on my phone line now. Will, you're on Talk 99.5. What's up, brother?
What's up, man? Hey, listen. So, you know, the thing I used to love about CC's was they billed themselves as the TVPVA, the best pizza value anywhere.
Oh, yeah.
And the pizza was terrible. But now the drink is not included in the price of the pizza buffet. True. Neither is the salad bar, which
what?
Lessens the value. Yes, lessens the
value.
I did not know
exactly. That. Oh, man. That hurts.
Yes. Hmm. But, you know, Marco's, have you had their Florentine pizza? It's really, really good. It's spinach
I have not.
And feta and Roma tomatoes and chicken and their white sauce / olive oil, however they do it. It's really freaking good. It's not traditional red sauce pepperoni pizza, but it is definitely our go-to. The other thing, the other night, I ordered for Papa John's, and their $13 stuffed crust pizza, one topping, is a really good value.
I finally had more, of course, because you have an entire family. So
we spent $73. but I was feeding 10 people.
Yeah.
And we got all specialty pizzas plus some jalapeno poppers and some breadsticks and whatnot and a soda. So, you know, I mean, to feed that $7 a person, that's a value for me.
It's not unusual for me to drop $40 ordering pizza, you know, including the tip. I mean, I'll throw an extra few bucks on there for even if I'm going to pick it up, because it's like those people still have to work, you know, they're still putting the pizza together.
Absolutely.
But I had a Papadia for the first time a couple of weeks ago. And I've been holding off and I've been like, I really want one of these things, but I don't have a good excuse to get one. And we actually ordered pizza from Papa John's, and I was like, oh, I'm doing it. I'm getting the Papadia. I just got the standard. It's kind of a calzone, right?
Yeah.
And I got to tell you, I was impressed for the price. I was very impressed. I don't mind telling you.
Well, if there's one thing that people should know about you and I, if there's anybody in the listening audience who has a restaurant or works at a restaurant, and you see Dixon and I coming, you should fight for our table, because we are over-tipping.
Yeah.
There is no question we are over-tipping just because we love you. And if you take good care of us and our food is delicious, you're going to be happy customer.
And you will be, and we don't make waves either. We're not troublesome. We're not like, remake this for me. We've never done that. That's not how we roll, man.
That is not how we roll. All right, well, I'm going to go and pressure wash this house. I got people coming to look at it today to try to sell this puppy. So,
all right, good luck
we'll
with it, bro.
Yeah,
good
man.
Luck
Thanks.
With it. All right, there you go. Will the Chubb father selling his house, buying a new one. Everybody's moving. Everybody's shaking. David Sears moved a year ago yesterday. Saw that, David.
Yeah.
Your anniversary.
It's weird, man. I just remember the first night in our new house, our bed had broken. So we were trying to go to bed, and we ended up having to rebuild our bed. And luckily, we had some leftover lumber from the construction on our house.
Uh-huh.
So we ended up just pushing everything together, and our bed is so sturdy, it is impossible to move right now. Because there's,
should I be asking what you did to break the bed?
Called. we didn't hire Crocker Moving Services.
Ah,
we move ourselves.
Ah,
and I broke some of the slats to the bed.
Yeah, yeah. I tell you, I got a bed. I just bought all new furniture, and I moved a year and 2 weeks ago. A year and only 8 days ago, and we moved a week apart, David. I bought this bed, and I knew when I put the slats on, when I was putting it together, I was like, these things are flimsy. There's no way these things are going to last, and they didn't. I mean, about 6 months in, I look at Delilah. She's curled up in a little ball down at the end of the bed, and she's like disappearing. She's fading away. I'm like, where are you going? Because the slats were so bad, they were giving in the whole mattress and everything. I took the entire bed. This was while I had COVID, by the way. I took the entire bed apart. I removed those slats. I had some 1-inch boards that I had purchased earlier for other projects, and I went in and I put these thick 1-inch boards in, plus a connecting board, plus bases, braces all the way around. I'm in the same condition. You could jump up and down on my bed for an eternity. And, you know, those fat bottom girls that Freddie Mercury's singing about ain't going to break my bed. I'm telling you right now. Yeah.
I just remember Lala was so frustrated that we were having to do this because they'd screwed up our internet. So we didn't have internet. So we're streamers. You know, we do the YouTube TV. And so we couldn't watch any football going on. we broke one of the fans, and it's just like she's just so mad. And then when we get on the bed, it just crack. We're like, son of a gun.
And yet, with nothing else to do, you know, she should have been happy with the project. It should have been like, oh.
Have you ever met an angry elf? Because they're not happy people.
She's an angry elf. Must be one of those South Pole elves. It's 2:12. We'll take a break. Come back. I've got so much to tell you. Don't go away. When they wrote this song, Jonathan Cain said, we didn't even know if there was such a place as South Detroit. So, well, it's a place, and it's got a north, east, west, and south to it, so I guess we could, you know, we just needed the extra syllable. We loved it. South Detroit. That's what we went with, South Detroit. No idea. By the way, when they did it live, they would regularly change that to whatever town they were in. They were just South Birmingham. What? That doesn't quite fit. 218 Talk 99.5, talk995.com. I told you about my mosquito reduction guy. His name is Jeff. He called me last week. He said, look, I'm supposed to come out and spray your place down, but, you know, if I do, it's just going to get washed away by the rain. That doesn't make any sense to me. How about we wait until the rain ends? I said, I love that idea. And sure enough, it rained off and on all weekend. Yesterday, at one point, the animals were pairing up in my yard. I mean, it was crazy how much and how heavy the rain was. And I thought, oh, I'm so glad that we didn't, you know, because it just would have been a waste. So now he's going to come back, not today and probably not tomorrow, but maybe by Wednesday when we're in the clear, or at least closer to in the clear, and he'll spray me down, and I can make it through the rest of certainly this month and October mosquito-free, which is what we're after, right? Now, that's just the mosquito reduction. They also, of course, do pest control. They do rodent control. They do termite bonds, and they do it all over the state. 40 years in the business. You're going to love their prices. And you're going to love their techs because they do a continuous, and I mean consistent, education to make sure that everybody and anybody who works for them is up to speed on what is going on in the world of bugs. That's Mr. Bugs, MRBUGGS, MrBugs.com. They know what bugs you. 844-MRBUGGS, should you wish to call them. Beto O'Rourke planning to challenge Greg Abbott for the governorship of Texas. I don't know how well that is going to go. You know, the media loves to spin these wild conspiracies and these strange polls. Remember when he was a hair's breadth away from beating Ted Cruz? And it's like, there's a chance Ted Cruz is going to lose his seat here because Beto O'Rourke is just so popular and so, you know, people are just crazy about him. And he lost by 10 points. That was not a close battle, okay? I'm sorry. You lose by 10 points. $80 million. $80 million he raised in that. And he lost by 10 points. I don't know that you're going to see anything really different. I think people like Greg Abbott. You know, a lot of it has to do with where you live and who you're listening to. And if, like Beto, you spend a lot of time in Austin, which is the San Francisco of Texas, you're going to have a lot of people tell you, we love you and you need to run and you're going to beat him and no one here likes him and it's all, yeah, everyone hates him. Yeah, that's right. And then you go and you get your eyes beat out at the polls, you know, on election day because, you know, even though you raised $80 million, the fact is people have seen your agenda. Your agenda is, you're damn right I'm going to take your assault rifle away. No such thing as an assault rifle. Once again, doesn't exist. Not a real thing. You know, yeah, we're gonna tax roads. We're gonna tax you by the mile when you drive. He's another one of the guys who loves that concept. You're already taxing my gasoline. Well, why in the world are you taxing me per mile? That makes less than no sense. So, he can go ahead and throw good money after bad. The good news is he'll almost certainly get the nomination because Democrats are stupid. And the further good news is that he will then get his eyes beat out of the polls by a very popular governor in Texas. Texans love Greg Abbott, and they love what he's doing. And they think the ban on mask mandates is a good thing. And they believe fighting against government overreach with vaccine mandates is a good idea. And Beto O'Rourke is in favor of more government control and more telling people what to do. So, yeah, we'll see how that plays out if, in fact, he decides to run. Great piece written in BBC.com about life under the Taliban in Afghanistan. Life under the Taliban. Everybody is on the street right now. Everybody is on the street with all of their belongings, trying to sell their children's finest clothes. Why? Because, to quote one Afghani woman, there is no work and there is no money. Yeah. This is what she says. The Islamic Emirate is good. There's no theft or crime anymore. We just have one problem. There's no work and no money. The woman who conducted the interview said she was weak from hunger because she had not eaten dinner the night before, nor breakfast that day, because she was making sure that any food that came into the house ended up in her children's hands. Like I said, the Taliban has been a terrorist organization all this time. Suddenly they have to actually begin governing, and they have no earthly idea what they're doing. It's a lot like liberalism. On paper, it works wonderfully. In practice, begins to fall apart fairly quickly. AOC's tax the rich dress suggests that maybe we're not doing that already. I've got some figures from 2018 that say otherwise. Top 1% of earners took in 21% of all income in the U.S. and paid 40% of all federal income taxes. Now, you say, well, hold on a second. The top 1% took in 21% of all income? Yeah. But they paid 40% of all the taxes. That was, by the way, up 33.2% from 2000, or up from 33.2% in 2000. In 2018, the top 10% of earners made 48% of all income, paid 71% of all federal income taxes. Yeah. Top 10% made 48% of income, paid 71% of all federal income taxes. On average, the bottom 50% of earners pay 3.4% of individual income taxes. Sounds like we already tax the rich, don't we? I don't know that that dress is going to make any difference, AOC. 112 people right now at UAB being treated for COVID, and another bunch that were healthy enough that they got treated and were released, but 112 that are in-house right now. It's too many. We did have a story last week, and I talked about it briefly, that a surprising number of people that are in the hospital as a result of the Rona are there for observation or are there because of something else, and they just tested positive for coronavirus. So, of course, they end up in the coronavirus wing because they don't want that spreading to other people. But, you know, they're asymptomatic or they have very mild symptoms and they're in no danger of dying from COVID. They're there because they've got a broken arm or because they've got, you know, some a heart condition, something of that nature, which is not good. I mean, a comorbidity is never a good thing, right? Can't help but be concerned about it. Nonetheless, when we think of, you know, hospitals overflowing with COVID patients, we think of everybody on a ventilator or we think of everybody, you know, at death's door. And that's just not the case. Fully half the people that are in the hospital with COVID are actually asymptomatic or mildly symptomatic with some other issue that is actually putting them in the hospital. Nonetheless, these numbers have got to come down. We can't maintain at this level. We can't continue to work at this level. And, of course, we get the Mew coming our way shortly. Oh, it appears as though Brian Laundry may have been spotted in the state of Alabama. Brian Laundry, that's the whole Gabby Petito boyfriend, guy who probably killed her, took off running the other day, and now they can't find him anywhere. And he refused to talk to the police or the media. His parents will talk to the media only about his disappearance and not at all about what else is going on. This is a horrible situation, to be sure. It's a sad state of affairs. But as I pointed out earlier, you know, it's a lot of people that go missing in the United States every year, every week, every month, every day. And I can't help but find it odd that we always pick the lovely young blonde females to get worked up about. You know, that's the damnedest thing, isn't it? Roger is in Hoover with thoughts on this matter and others. Roger, you're on Talk 99.5. What's on your mind, man?
Hey, I went and saw the Pink Floyd Black Jacket Friday.
The Wall, yeah. How'd you like it?
It was awesome. The best part probably is they held the mic out to the crowd, and we sang Wish You Were Here, the refrain. It was awesome.
Oh, nice.
So, it was very cool. But the big stupid question, I could eat Reese's Peanut Butter Cups the rest of my life and never get sick of them.
Really? That's the go-to. Do you like the little ones that come in the bag where they're not even like in a foil wrap? You can just reach in and grab them and toss them right in your face?
No, because I'm a peanut butter fan of them. I love the peanut butter in it, so that's what brings me. Those little ones don't have enough in it.
They don't have enough of the peanut butter. Gotcha. Okay, yeah. Well, know what you love, man. Know what you love and why you love it.
Thank you.
Beautiful, Roger. Thank you for the call. Yeah, I heard that. I heard The Wall was fantastic on Friday. Of course it was. Everything these guys do is fantastic. They're going to be at Alabaster Jubilee this coming Saturday, and they are doing Damn the Torpedoes, something which I have seen. I'm not going to be there, and I'll tell you why, because Jalene is getting her second COVID shot, and with her other health concerns, I can't help but be a little worried about potential side effects, you know. I know of people who have had fevers that, you know, crested beyond 104 from the second shot. I know of people who had incredible muscle aches and body aches as a result of the second shot, and you know, heart arrhythmia. There's a bunch of stuff that can happen. Now, you know, for me, you know what I had? I had a headache. I guess I had a mild fever. I think I got to 98.9 or something like that, and then it went away. And I had a lot of soreness. I had a lot of muscle soreness and the injection site. That was it for me. And it was done by midday Sunday for the most part. That's not true, because I made it through Saturday. Really kicked in hard on Sunday. And then, you know, it was done by pretty much Sunday night, certainly Monday morning. But, you know, she's got a couple of other underlying conditions that I'm concerned about. So someone has got to be here to make sure that, you know, they can dial 911 if she begins to seize up. I got to have a wet towel to put between her teeth and all the stuff that... Yes, David, I know you want to say something. I can tell. Now he's going to answer.
Yeah, I was taking a phone call. Sorry. But yeah, when I got my second dose, it just drained me. I got it on a Thursday or Wednesday. I was fine Thursday, but Friday I hit a wall doing the news around 5 o'clock.
Yeah.
I went home, and I generally stay up on Friday nights to watch wrestling and all that. I went straight to bed and slept from about 7:45 Friday night all the way till 2 in the afternoon Saturday morning.
Yeah. You're not the first person I've heard that from. And yet still, I recommend the vaccine more so than getting the COVID, because I've had them both. And I can tell you, the vaccine is better than getting the COVID, trust me. Way better. 237, Talk 99.5, Talk99.5.com. Couple of other little fun stories. The Arizona 2020 election audit report was originally going to come out on September the 24th. That would be this coming Friday. Now, because of the Attorney General giving an ultimatum to Maricopa County and saying, look, you're going to hand over the routers, you're going to hand over these logbooks, we need all of this stuff, or you're not getting any state funds. We're not giving in the state funds. It was $700 million or some ridiculous amount of money. It's a lot of money. Maricopa County, obviously the biggest county in the state, and they're saying flat out, just not going to give it to you. You're not getting the money. End of story. And guess what? The election commission in Maricopa County went, wait, here. Okay, we found them. We got them. They're right here. We can do this. I'm sure they had lengthy conversations about it, because there was tumbleweeds for about 2 weeks after that ultimatum was given. And then they eventually came up and said, yeah. Okay, here it is. Now, they reached a compromise because the guys, the cyber ninjas and the Senate Republicans who are conducting this audit, you know, they're trying to be nice. They're like, we should all be working together on this. We all want to work together on this. So they allowed the other side, the Election Commission, to name, I guess, what you would call a special master, a guy who's going to kind of control the info. They allowed that person to be named by the Election Commission. We'll see whether that was a bad decision or not. Technically, what they got was an outright win from the Attorney General. They didn't have to make any sort of accommodations at all. But this makes me wonder whether or not they're going to go ahead and release this report on the 24th, or if they are going to continue to give, all right, well, now, hold on, we're going to work on it some more. Because the router, all that does is show, you know, who it didn't, it shows who visited and how often. That's pretty much it. It doesn't say anything about what they did, what websites were gone to, or anything like that. It's like all we have is IP addresses, who visited and how often. So we can have an idea of were people in the system, were they monkeying around with the system, were they playing with the system, was something going on the inside that we weren't aware of. Again, best possible case scenario is they find nothing. I'm beginning to think because Maricopa County tried so desperately to keep this out of the hands of the guys conducting the audit, that there must be something there. It's almost never the damning, you know, smoking gun that you want it to be. It's almost never that, you know, that moment in Perry Mason where somebody would stand up and go, I admit it! I killed him! I hated him! You know, it's never that. It's always some little thread or something that continues that leads you to have to pull that and see what comes next and what else unfolds and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So I don't know. I according to one member of the Senate Republicans who has some insight into the report that was being written, she said, look, this is taking a while, but those of you who have been questioning the election results, when you get this report, you're going to be very happy with what we found. And I'm thinking, what does that mean? You know what would make me very happy? Everything went according to plan. Not because I love Joe Biden as a president, but because I really would like our election system to be flawless or as unflawed as possible. We should all be rooting for that, shouldn't we? Shouldn't we all be rooting for, let's make sure that the election process is over and above board and there's no funny business? I think we should all be that. But apparently that's not what we're going to get when we get this report. Again, don't be looking, much like the Durham report, I'm like, I know everybody wants to see James Comey in an orange jumpsuit and, you know, Rosenstein and Peter Strzok and Lisa Page and all these people. You think that they should all, you know, go off to prison. It's not going to happen. And sure enough, the very first indictment that comes down is some no-name lawyer for a cyber security firm that lied to the FBI about something. And you're just like, really, this is where we're going? Is this a small fish that's going to lead to a bigger fish, or is this pretty much it? Because I remember the left got all excited when Papadopoulos, oh, here it is, this is it, we're on our way. And I'm like, yeah, nothing came of that, right? Papadopoulos was a joke. He served 10 minutes in prison. He got back out again, and that was pretty much the beginning and end of it. They got other people on process crimes, you know, but nothing having to do with Russian collusion. So I'm looking at this now, and I'm going, I try not to get my hopes up. You're a much happier I hate to say, I sound Jewish at this point. You know what? I sound like Tevye in Fiddler on the Roof. You're just a happier person if you don't get your hopes up. What's that great line from the last episode of the first season of Ted Lasso? It's the hope that kills you. It's the hope that kills you. Great show, by the way, that did very well at the Emmys, and congratulations to Jason Sudeikis for picking up a trophy last night. Couldn't have happened to a nicer guy. It's a small consolation for Olivia Wilde leaving him. I just found that out the other day. Did you know that at one point Jason Sudeikis was apparently married? They have a kid together. I don't know if they were married or living together. Olivia freaking Wilde.
People like funny men. That's why David Spade pulls so many good-looking chicks.
Is this why SHG is hanging out with me? Is that the whole reason?
Well, that and the wealth, I mean.
Sure. Well, of course. I'm obviously loaded, as anybody who's seen me driving a 2016 Ford Flex can tell.
Well, I know. That's why you're loaded, because you're driving the Ford Flex. You're hiding your money.
That's right. There's a guy who listens to Dave Ramsey and pays attention. 2:44, let's take a quick break. We'll come back and wrap this thing up. Stick around. Woo! Yeah. Is Footloose still the greatest movie in the history of all mankind?
Kevin Bacon.
It never was.
How dare you insult Peter Quill?
I just finished watching Endgame over the weekend on the big screen, and still just an epically great movie. So I've watched all of the Marvel Universe in order, except Black Widow, and I tried to get into What If. I couldn't do it. Couldn't do it. Sorry. Didn't work for me. I'll tell you what does work for me. Saving money every single month. No telling how much you can save, depending on how long it's been since you last took a look at your mortgage. When was the last time you looked at what your percentage is? You know, what are you paying? You think, I'm in pretty good shape, I think, you know. Stroke a check every month, you throw it in an envelope, you send it off, or maybe you get an automatic thing, it's just coming right out of your bank account, you're not even thinking about it or looking at it. And then one day you go and you look and you go, 5.25? What? Hey, hold on. Yeah, we're under 3%, under 3% on some 30-year money right now. Under 3%. You have any idea what kind of savings that would be for you? You could feasibly switch from a 30-year loan to a 15-year loan and still lower your payment. Holy cow, what a difference a few years makes. Yeah. But, you know, you got to call Weber Mortgage. You got to get in touch with them, 270-5550. Talk to them about what is going to work for you, what's best for you, what are your plans, what are your hopes, what are your dreams, what is it you're trying to achieve, and they will make it happen because they know all the ins and the outs. 20 years in the business, better than that, actually. Locally owned and operated second-generation company, Weber Mortgage, 270-5550, WeberMortgage1B.com, WeberMortgage1B.com. NMLS, number 219938. They are my people, and they ought to be your people. I was somewhat encouraged by Auburn's play over the weekend. Of course, not happy about a loss to number 10 Penn State, but, you know, you come in at number 22, you leave at number 23. I think they acquitted themselves well, lost by 8 points. A couple of missteps there, bad targeting call. But for the most part, you know, if you're an Auburn fan, first off, if you're an Auburn fan and you're all like,
well, I guess this guy's no better than the last one.
It's his third game with Auburn. Stop. You're not really an, you know what you are? You're an Alabama fan. Stop it. I'm encouraged. And, I want to see Auburn do well. I want to see Alabama do well as well. I really do. And so with them struggling against Florida, What was it, David? Was it more defensive or was it? I didn't watch any part of the game. I did listen to
what
a little bit of the Auburn game.
Alabama's offense and defense started off red hot. Alabama scored touchdowns on their first three possessions, and then they just could not get a sustained drive. They went three straight three and outs.
Ooh.
The defense was just being gassed because, you know, that up-tempo offense, if your offense can't sustain a drive and you're right back out on the field. And that allowed Florida to get back in the game. They lucked out, though, because Florida missed an extra point.
Yep.
So they had to go for two there in the fourth quarter. And then the quarterback made a horrible decision. He should have either took the ball himself or given the ball to the running back. Instead, he just kind of held it in there and it allowed Bama's defense just to wrap them both up and at the one-yard line to keep them out of the end zone. That ended up being the difference in the ball game.
Yeah, apparently there was some, really bad decision-making there. But, hey, yay, good news there.
Hey,
glad
survive
to hear.
In advance and for your – he's basically a freshman. I know they list him as a sophomore. But you're basically freshman starting his first ever true road game in the swamp and coming out with a victory, making plays when we needed it to. That's something you can build on heading into Southern Miss.
No
this
question.
And what should be an offensive shootout October 2nd against Ole Miss.
And Auburn does not get a week off. They dive directly into LSU at a night game.
Well, that's next week. That's next week.
Is that next week?
Yeah. They play LSU at a night next week. I believe they've got – let me double check. I think they have another SEC game this week.
Let's hope it's somebody terrible.
You have someone that's not even SEC. You play Georgia State.
Yeah. Ah, should be able to handle that one.
You play Georgia State at 3 p.m. Thought. Alabama plays at 6:30 on SEC Network. So if you stay on the SEC Network, you can watch Auburn and Alabama back-to-back.
Can we not leave UAB out of the mix here? Because they're really, they're the hometown team.
7 o'clock on ESPN Plus against Tulane, which ought to be a really good game. Tulane's played some people close.
Yeah, they did. They did. They,
next week, of course, is the big, big day for UAB as they open up Protective Life Stadium October 2nd, 6 p.m. against Liberty, which ought to be
it's gonna
a
be
great
awesome.
Game.
It's going to be absolutely awesome. Congratulations on their big win over North Texas, by the way. Got to give them props, Blazers. Go Blazers. Okay, that's it for me. I'm out of here. Leland Live comes your way next. I will be back tomorrow at noon. Talk at you then. Richard Dixon, Talk 99.5, talk99.5.com. Bye-bye now.